I will say that we put a lot of patients on the BV-NEVO study as well. I wrote that study with Steve Ansell, but as a true academician, a junior person is the first author, and Steve and I are bunched in the middle. I was enamored with the BV-NEVO study. Number one, the CR rate was the same as giving an augmented platinum-based program. It is exquisitely well tolerated. The patients love it. We saw no pulmonary toxicity to speak of, even though that there was a combination of two drugs that could have pulmonary toxicity. And I agree with John. If anything, the PET negative rate could be underrepresented, even though it's about 60%, because of the inflammatory milieu in the chest after getting a checkpoint inhibitor. As we know fully, everybody, especially you folks who take care of solid tumor, fully know that PET scanning is a nightmare in solid tumors with checkpoint inhibitors. It's no different in Hodgkin lymphoma. We see a disparity between CT and PET imaging results. So sometimes you can have a little distal abnormality and call that PET avid disease because the patient's on a clinical trial. However, it's very likely that it's nothing.
Just to be clear though, do you use the BV checkpoint or nivolumab strategy yourself outside a trial setting for salvage?
So now that we just published it and it's out in blood, occasionally we'll offer that to patients. But what I will do is the favorable patients, once again, we're talking all about risk models here, I try to give BV alone to, and the patients who are more unfavorable, I will try to get BV-NEVO if I can.
And again, if they don't have a path CR, they go to chemo?
Yes, they would get, but we give an ICE-based salvage.
So, John, you see a patient in second opinion who saw Craig first, and Craig's recommended this strategy you just heard about with BV, maybe adding a NEVO as an initial therapy for salvage. Do you say, well, that's a good idea, but that's fine, I just don't happen to do it? Or do you say, I don't really think that's the way it ought to be approached. I think you ought to get chemo.
So I think it's a reasonable approach. And again, no one's actually done a prospective trial comparing these strategies to say one's better than the other. And I like the opportunity of mitigating toxicity by trying to avoid chemo, even though at some point they're going to get a big whacking dose of chemo with a transplant. Our approach philosophically was slightly different, which is we want to give a good upfront package. Our chemo platform's a little less toxic than ICE. But philosophically, I think the goal would be to try and get a good proportion of people into CR with a tolerable regimen. And so if you can do that with a combination as opposed to sequential, that would kind of be my approach. But again, I tend to do less patient selection. I generally want to use the same regimen in everyone getting second-line therapy. So it's a little less nuanced than Craig's approach.
Neeraj?
Yes, so if the patients get BV and nivolumab as a kind of pre-transplant, do you continue this as a maintenance after the transplant?
Not the doublet.
Not the doublet.
Not the doublet. So there is ample evidence already that you can give BV post-transplant and who got BV up front. It was just not in the Athera study, but there are a number of studies out there. In fact, the one that John participated in, the BV Benda study, had post-transplant brentuximab. There's a BV ESHAP study that gave post-transplant brentuximab. You just have to be careful about toxicity. Not being able to button your shirt or write, I feel, is an important thing for patients. And I would kind of avoid maintenance therapy in patients who have underlying neuropathy from either platinum or from brentuximab.